Our gospel passage for today comes to us from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Here we are in the first Sunday in Lent, and this is traditionally that Sunday in which we focus on the temptation of Jesus. So we look at that from Luke's telling, chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for your word that when opened, your Spirit moves and something is accomplished, whatever you purpose, Lord. And we pray that that purpose would be to change our hearts and minds this day, that we would not leave here unchanged, that you would bring home to us your timeless truths, things that we can be led by and guided by as we continue on our walk this Lenten season. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Well, last Wednesday marked the beginning of Lent in the Christian calendar. Lent is 40 days, 40 days of preparation before Easter. And we start with Ash Wednesday, and you don't count Sundays. So Sundays are recognized as feast days. So you start with Ash Wednesday, and you count the days that are not Sundays. You get 40 days, and then that leads you to Easter morning. It's a time of spiritual pilgrimage, where Christians all over the world practice purposeful introspection in order to honor God and the sacrifice of Jesus for the sins of all of humanity. Now, some people give up something for Lent. Does anybody here give up something for Lent? Or have you given up something for Lent in the past? Right? Sometimes it's chocolate or eating meat, maybe fasting a particular meal each day in order to focus on God more fully. That's the purpose, not to lose weight or to diet, but to take the opportunity to purposefully remember, you know, like when you're tempted to reach for that chocolate because that's kind of your thing, and you're like, "Oh wait, I gave that up for Lent." It's a reminder to pray and to think about all the good things that God has given us. Now, others add additional practices. It's not so much about giving something up, but adding additional practices for Lent for the same purpose, including prayer or devotional readings. You get the idea, right? That's a time, special time of introspection, so that Easter doesn't just come upon us and we go, "Oh yeah, Easter, the most important, besides, you know, Christmas, the most important Christian holiday." You know, without the birth of Jesus, you wouldn't have Jesus, and without the death of Jesus, we wouldn't have eternal life. So those are kind of the two big holidays of the Christian calendar. But this period of Lent, this somber and reflective period of 40 days, is followed by the ecstatic celebration of Easter. Easter is fun. It's exciting. And that's when the resurrection of Jesus confirms that all he taught was true. Paul makes that point in his letters. He says, if there's no resurrection, we're just messing around. We're just playing church. We're just a social club of deluded individuals if there's no resurrection. So Jesus' death and resurrection proves that not only is that aspect of his teaching true, but all the other things that he taught were true. Easter is the exclamation point on which the statement that Lent makes is conveyed. That life is hard, that's kind of Lent, this period of focusing on the difficulty and that all that Jesus sacrificed on our behalf. But that's true, but Jesus defeated death. Amen?
Amen.
So we focus on the hard stuff, we focus on the heavy stuff, and then we get to celebrate that that's not the end of the story. We can be encouraged and have hope. Sunday morning is coming, and the grave is empty. But until that final victory, we wage battles every day that come from being imperfect people living in a fallen world. Today, we are just at the start of this Lenten journey. So what we read in Luke's gospel reminds us of the reality of that struggle. Jesus' temptation by the devil in the wilderness is the subject of the gospel passage today. And I'm guessing it's one that many of you are familiar with. For 40 days, Jesus remained in the inhospitable desert country of Israel while prayerfully fasting. The devil comes and tests Jesus three times, trying to derail the mission of God's Messiah before it even gets going. Right? So this, as you may recall, happens right on the heels of Jesus' baptism. And it's a glorious moment. Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus bodily in the form of a dove, and then the Holy Spirit pushes him out into the wilderness, leads him into the wilderness, and is with him for those 40 days. And the devil knows that this is a critical moment. This is a critical moment. So he comes after Jesus with a fury. He attacks Jesus by coming after his hunger, his pride, his sense of identity. Hungry Jesus? Use some of your power to turn stones to bread. Want to rule the world as it is your birthright? Well, you can do so right now. You just have to bend your knee to me. You think God is really your father? I mean, I know you talk about it, but is he really your father? Why don't you test that? Throw yourself down from the top of the temple and see if your father keeps you from harm. Prove that you really trust him. See if you and he pass the test. Now, Jesus wards off each of the temptations by referring to what he knows to be true. In his weakest of moments and the most difficult of circumstances, Jesus trusts in the Heavenly Father and in his timing. Jesus' source of strength is the Jewish Holy Scriptures, or what we refer to as the Old Testament. Jesus stood the test and resisted temptation. But he was Jesus, all right? God's son. Is it reasonable for us to take anything from Jesus' example? I mean, we could wear a wristband that says, "What would Jesus do?" or a necklace or something like that, but like, can we really draw one-to-one correlate? We're not God's son. We're not, I mean, not in this way. Well, I believe we can. I think it's reasonable to draw some lessons from Jesus' experience in the sense that what Paul writes in his letters about what it means to be a disciple. And what the Christian experience should be like as a disciple. Galatians 2:20 is a big one. He writes, "I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, so this life that we're living after we have become Christians, this life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the Christ that is in me is the life that I can live that enables me to increasingly live into holiness and resist temptation. Because the Jesus that resisted temptation after 40 days of fasting in the desert is the same Jesus living in me right now. Is the same Jesus living in you right now. So if I live out this verse, Galatians 2:20, and it is Christ in me, then I'll be able to resist temptation. Christ in me, Christ in you, if you are indeed a child of God through faith. So we can learn from Jesus' example. Now, it's a universal truth that times of stress and difficulty not only build character, but they reveal character. Amen?
Amen.
Those lessons we have learned through past experience and the truths that we have absorbed into our hearts will express themselves when we are hard-pressed. More important than the outward show of our religion, the inward state of our hearts and our souls is revealed when we are stressed. So, I don't know where Bradley went. Bradley, can you hear me? You were supposed to come up and help me at this point.
He's in the bathroom. I got you.
He's a no-show. So we got Kennedy is going to fill in. When squeezed, all right, so here's the object lesson. When squeezed, right, when pressed, what is in us will come out of us. And I'm not talking about what you ate for lunch.
Okay.
Okay? So this is a ketchup bottle.
Yes.
What do you suppose is going to come out of this ketchup bottle when you squeeze it?
Processed tomato.
All right? Go ahead and give it a shot. Let's keep it on the plate and not get it on the floor.
Okay.
All right? Okay.
Ketchup,
right? All right. Let's save that. Is it good?
Yes, good.
Oh, all right. Yeah, he loves his ketchup.
Mustard. What's going to come out of the mustard when we squeeze it?
Mustard.
A yellow mustard.
Yellow, okay.
Not right. Sponsored.
Again, on the plate, please. Let's. Okay? It is, in fact, mustard. All right. Now, save the best for last.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate? Mm-hmm. Bradley, I'll call you up here in just a second. All right? So I'm going to shake it good.
Okay.
What do you suppose is going to come out of the chocolate?
Vanilla.
Well, all right, let's see.
Chocolate.
That looks like chocolate.
That's some thick vanilla.
All right. That is indeed chocolate.
Yeah, it's chocolate.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. You can go sit down.
Mix them together now?
No, we're not going to mix them together. That would be gross. We might come back to this in a little bit. Bradley, I'm going to give you a chance to come up. All right. So that's silly, right? But this is an object lesson that sometimes when we see something portrayed that simply helps us to take it into our mind. When we are squeezed, if I put garbage into my mind, into my heart all week, when I am pressed, that's what's going to come out.
Never get.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know about GIGO, G-I-G-O, right? The term GIGO is shorthand for garbage in, garbage out, just like we're saying. It's a computer science acronym that affirms that the truth that if you input bad code or bad programming into your computer, then what you're going to get is bad output. It's not going to work the way you want it to work. Now, computers operate using strict logic. So it's clear to see how invalid input or programming may produce unrecognizable gobbledygook as output or garbage. But this phenomenon, I have a hard time remembering it because when my laptop or my phone or some other form of hardware doesn't work, I'm tempted to toss the hardware against the wall. But it's not the hardware that's at fault. It's whatever programmed that hardware, the software. That's what's likely to blame. Now, that if you stick your phone in the microwave or something and fry the components in it, then it's going to be the hardware that's at fault. But I'm just saying, in most cases, it's going to be the programming. Now, last week, we reviewed the necessity of renewing our minds, our program, of being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Remember that? That's Romans 12, 1 and 2, if you need the reference again. That's a good one to memorize and to start with if you need to reprogram some of your hardware. Because what is in us is going to come out of us when we are squeezed.
Yes.
Stressed and distressed. As Seattle quarterback Russell Wilson says, the separation is in the preparation. Have you heard that one before? The difference between a positive or a negative result is how we prepare. Another example of this universal truth can be seen in academics. In school, I had a teacher that refused to refer to quizzes and tests as quizzes and tests. He said they were learning opportunities. That's a fun little euphemism, isn't it? Learning opportunities. But he was quite serious, and I learned an important lesson in that class, because at first, you know, you show up for that class as, we're going to have a learning opportunity. And you're like, what? And then he starts passing out tests. You're like, ha, 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 very funny. This is a test. He's like, no, this is a learning opportunity. A test is a learning opportunity because it teaches the student how well they prepared for that moment of testing. If I had been in that class, for instance, if I had been doing my daily work, if I had been attending class regularly, if I had been asking questions along the way to seek clarification for those things that I didn't understand, then I was prepared to test well and enjoy the learning opportunity rather than dread it. Right? And there's nothing better as a student than to go walking into a classroom knowing you're going to ace the test before you get it. That's a good feeling. Have you ever had that feeling? Maybe not with the test in a school setting, but maybe a work situation. You know you're going to get reviewed and you've been killing it. So that's going to be a great review, that sort of thing. You know, life gives us plenty of learning opportunities. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
I'm sure you can see how this principle plays out in other areas of our lives. Recently, I was struck by the eloquence of a Ukrainian mother named Olena, and her last name is spelled G-N-E-S. I don't know how to say that. The G and the N together and the fact that it's Ukrainian, I don't want to attempt it. That's how you spell it. So you can Google it later if you want to see what I'm talking about. But she was able to speak passionately about motherhood, patriotism, justice, and world politics, all while holding an infant child in one arm and her phone that she was being interviewed by a news agency halfway around the world at the same time. Huddled with others in a bomb shelter, she was able to speak truthfully to her situation and the dilemma before her countrymen without a script, no teleprompter, no prepared words. In times of extreme stress, what was in her came pouring out of her as a compassionate plea that moved all that have hurt her. Now, the way that these examples in Jesus' experience of being tested in the wilderness apply to our lives should be fairly plain by now. Jesus could withstand temptation because he had cultivated a relationship with God the Father over years of prayer and study. It wasn't like Jesus said, okay, I know I'm the Messiah, maybe sometime in his mid-20s, right? He knows it's coming in a few years. All right, I know I'm God's Messiah. I've got this mission. So what are those verses I got to memorize? You know, what do I need to do to prepare myself physically, mentally, spiritually? No, he worked on his relationship with his Heavenly Father. It wasn't just about memorizing scripture passages that he could verbalize in his time of weakness. God's word had penetrated into his being and became so much a part of him that it would have been impossible for him to express anything other than those truths and to live them out accordingly. He had filled himself with what he was supposed to be filled with. So when squeezed, that's what came out. This kind of relationship is what God wants with us. An intimate walk that emphasizes perseverance, not perfection. God's words leading us into God's heart for God's world. This is a key point on our compass rose, as a sense, something that helps us figure out which way is up and where's right and left and east and west and north and south in our journey of faith. Why? Why is that important? Well, because Jesus wasn't the only one to refer to Scripture during his temptation. No, the devil also quoted God's word with some skill and precision. But because the devil's purpose and character were set against God's design, his application of God's word was deceptive and false. God's truth was twisted to harm and destroy rather than to reveal and heal. Do you have that relationship with God that the Father desires? John 1:12 says, to everyone who receives Jesus, to those who believe in his name, Jesus gives the right to become children of God. Amen? We use that verse plenty of times in our CDF clubs. Bradley, come on up. You get a second chance here, all right? We're not going to squeeze these bottles again. I've got one more. All right. Okay. You ready to squeeze it?
Yeah.
Where are you going to squeeze it?
From the middle.
From the middle? Yeah. All right. So, we'll make some room. All right. What's going to come out when we squeeze this?
Not water.
Not water.
It's
a chocolate sauce bottle, Bradley.
Apparently. Chocolate, I think.
Okay.
Feels like chocolate.
Okay. It's not.
What is it? It appears to be like fry sauce, I think.
Okay.
Basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Or maybe tartar sauce or something.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So not chocolate.
Not chocolate.
Well, that's just criminal.
That's criminal, Jerry says. It is Thousand Island dressing, okay?
That's definitely garbage.
It's garbage. Yeah, we put garbage in. Yeah. Now, some people like Thousand Island dressing, but it's not. All right. Brian's going to taste it. He wants to verify.
It's not
it.
Chocolate. Just say it.
So the difference between this and this is what?
Well, the one in your right hand is Satan, he's deceptive, and the left hand is Christ, and he's full of God.
The difference is what is inside, right? The bottles are identical, the labels are identical, but what has filled them is not the same.
Yeah.
I think that in times of stress, it becomes increasingly clear to me in times of stress whether I've been doing a good job of filling myself with the right things.
Yeah.
and when I have done. And it, the nice thing is, as a Christian, is that once I've given my heart to Christ, then Jesus basically says, it's my responsibility to hold on to you. And none will be snatched from my hand. So I can't wiggle my way out of God's grace at that, which is fantastic, because there's certainly times that I've tried pretty hard, and maybe you have too. But that change has happened in me. But I think there's a hard truth that perhaps in the church, the larger Christian community, there's a lot of people who they think that becoming a Christian is about getting the right label, looking the right way, you know, looking as much like this as possible. But God has not done a work on the inside. Nothing has been changed. So when they're squeezed, Christ doesn't come out, because Christ never got in. We've got to believe. Each one of us has got to believe. That's the relationship that God the Father desires. Everyone who receives Jesus, who brings Jesus into those who believed in his name, those are the ones that have the right to be called children of God. So we believe, we renew our minds, we recognize the power of Christ living in us. Prepare each day for the pressures of this world, because you don't know when you're going to get that phone call. You don't know when your health is going to take a turn for the worse. You don't know when a marriage is going to get rocky. You just don't know. Prepare each day for the pressures of this world. Cultivate intimacy with God. I hope you will join with me this Lent in looking for ways to practice putting good in, so when stressful times come, good comes out. Now that's maybe a positive spin on G-I-G-O. Instead of garbage in, garbage out, good in, good out. May we also build purposefully into those relationships that strengthen our character and integrity, so when tempted, we can stand firm. Let's pray. Jesus, you were, as your word says, tempted in every way, just as we are, yet we're without sin, which is hard for me to comprehend, because I can't seem to make it a few moments without thinking, saying, or doing something wrong, or something that I know would hurt your heart and make you sad. As we talk about it, our CEF clubs. Lord, we thank you that there is a remedy for sin, and its name is Jesus. That all the ways that we have failed, you have proven faithful. Help us to be much less concerned about what's on the outside of the bottle, or the shape of the bottle, or the label, but what's on the inside. Not only for ourselves, but how we interact with other people. We make a lot of judgments and assumptions about people based on their appearance, without even getting to know them. And God, you may be doing a work in their hearts and lives that we would be blessed to see and blessed to experience, but we don't even give ourselves that opportunity because we've made our judgment from afar. Lord, as we come to a passage like this, we can see how your word is used by both Jesus and the devil. And the difference is relationship and purpose. We don't want to memorize scripture just so we can have it be something that pushes people away or supports our own point of view. We want it to be something that we learn and we grow into so that it changes our hearts, so that we become more like Jesus. And so when we are squeezed, what comes out of us reflects our relationship with you. That we would interact with others in compassion and integrity and honesty and justice and love. Help us to do these things not for our sake, but for the sake of him who gave himself for us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.